Okay, one verse from the 26th chapter of Isaiah, and then we're going to Matthew 16. Isaiah 26, verse 13. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. You'd have to read beforehand of what happened, but it undoubtedly take a lot of judgments and things from God to get the people to admit there's been other lords over us besides you, Lord. That's the case many times. We only want one Lord over us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Had a lot of opinions of who Jesus was. Then he turns to the disciples in verse 15, and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. All right. Looking to his disciples, he said, who do you say that I am? Now, the people have a lot of different opinions. Some thought he was a good teacher. Some thought he was one of the prophets. Some thought he was John the Baptist. Some thought he was Jeremiah or Elijah reincarnated. Well, after all, it was prophesied that both would return. And Jeremiah, the first chapter, talks about it. It was also spoken of Elijah, that he would return before the coming of the Lord did. But then he turns to his disciples and says, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed, Peter, because that was revealed to you from the Father. Now, we're already up into the 16th chapter of Matthew. They'd been with him a while. They had followed him. They walked with him. They knew who he was. But this is the first time that they had a revelation of who he was. Peter knew all along he was Jesus. They heard John the Baptist when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's one thing to know who Jesus is. It's another thing to know by revelation. Now, every Christian knows that Jesus Christ is the Lord because they've read it in the Bible. They've heard it preached from the pulpit over and over and over again. And if you ask them, they will tell you plainly, yes, Jesus Christ is the Lord. But that's not the same thing as having a revelation to your heart that he is the Lord. And I emphasize that because it's so easy to say, I know who he is. He's the Lord. But when it becomes a revelation to your heart that's been revealed to you by God the Father, it's a totally different thing. Now, where is it that it says that no one knows the Father except the Son who reveals him, and no one knows the Son except the Father? You see, you can know about him, but to know him by revelation, When you know him by revelation, it's simply because something of his life has come to you through that revelation. And you know him because you're experiencing. Way back into Genesis again, it says that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Adam knew his wife. And the Hebrew word there for knew is yada, Y-A-D-A, yada. It means more than sexual intercourse. He knew his wife. He knew his wife because his life had penetrated her life. Her life had penetrated his life. A young man and a young woman will fall in love and they get married, but sometimes it takes years before they really know each other. And they really love each other because they're experiencing each other's life. Rebecca and I have experienced that. We loved each other when we got married. Man, it's different now. It's a yada thing. It's something that you know. And it's the same thing. You might say, well, I love the Lord. Yeah, I know you love him. But is he a revelation to your heart? Has he been revealed to you so that you experience his life? Because he is in you and you're in him. It's a totally different thing. When that happens, you think differently. Most Christians talk about, one day I'm going to see the Lord, you see. But when he has been revealed to you and you know him, like I'm talking about, it tends to eliminate that one day stuff, you see. Because now you've entered into a relationship with him. And this is what's happening here. Peter had a revelation that came from God. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. In other words, you don't know this because somebody told it to you and you believe it. You weren't taught this by somebody and you've accepted to be true. But this has become a revelation to your heart because it's been revealed to you by God himself, you see. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Then verse 18, but I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the Catholic Church says that Peter is the rock. The name Peter means rock, but it's little rock. But when Jesus uses this word, upon this rock, this bedrock, this foundational rock, it's a different thing. It's not Peter himself that becomes the foundation or the rock. It's the revelation that Peter had. A lot of people have accepted Jesus Christ be the Lord and have entered into some kind of relationship and have become religious and learning a lot of things, and then one day they tend to fall away, drift back into the world, what have you. But it's a different thing when it becomes a revelation to your heart. It's a foundation that you rest upon. And this is what he said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you get that revelation to your heart, then there's something that you're not going to be moved from it, you see. It's a different thing. In verse 19, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When you come under that kind of revelation, you have moved into a realm of authority to where that you can bind and you can loose. Many things that need to be bound up, many things that need to be loosed. Then in verse 20, he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now you say, why in the world would Jesus not want them to tell anybody who he is? Very simple. He wants it to be a revelation. That's why it's important when anyone becomes a shepherd of the sheep, a pastor of a church, he needs to be one that has that revelation. And that when he speaks a living word, and that word that he speaks is freighted with the very presence of the Lord in it. And when people receive the word, then they receive in that word what that word carries, which is the presence of the Lord. Far too many, in fact, the majority of the preachers today in pulpits are preaching their opinions of what they feel like the Bible is saying. And that doesn't mean that they're not speaking accurately, but they're not releasing a word that carries his presence so that they can receive a revelation that comes from God himself. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's important. And he said, don't tell any man that he is the Christ, but let your life manifest and present who he is. From that time forth, in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. But Peter took him and began to rebuke him. This wonderful Peter, who just had this fantastic revelation, is now rebuking the Lord and saying, be it far from you that this shall not happen. And Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You don't yet understand. He had a revelation of who Jesus was, but yet there's something missing here. Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified, lay my life down, I'm going to be killed, and then I'll be raised again on the third day. Peter said, no, they can't take my Jesus. And that's the way a lot of people are. They got to have a physical manifestation of Jesus presented to them. He just got this wonderful revelation. And here's the next step. The revelation is wonderful. The revelation is that bedrock, is that foundation. But it's got to be more than just knowing. The thing has to be completed so that you learn how to walk with him as the invisible Lord. But Peter had walked with the Lord. He had slept with him, ate with him, rubbed shoulders together. They'd done things together, become very good friends on top of everything else. And he didn't want to lose that physical relationship that he had with him. Jesus had said later in John, he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, then the Spirit cannot come to you. So it's very important. Then in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So there has to be a completion of this thing after the revelation. Jesus is going to lay down his life, and guess what? We're going to have to lay down ours too. If any man will come after me, in other words, if any man will become as I am, and have this oneness with me. Let him deny himself. That deny self is that selfishness, self-centeredness, the things of self that have to be laid down. Deny self, then take up the cross. Only one reason to take up a cross, and that's to die on it. But notice that there's three steps here. Deny yourself, then there's the cross realm, and then there's the following realm. You're not going to be able to follow the Lord unless there's that laying down of yourself and taking up the cross. Then that opens the door so that you can begin to follow Him and walk with Him, to know Him experimentally. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, I have a little circle around that pronoun his works. He shall reward every man according to his works. His there ought to be a capital H. You're not going to be rewarded for what you're going to do. Rewards that you receive will be because of what He does through you. The revelation comes, then there's the denying of self, there's the work of the cross, and there's the following after Him and becoming as He is. And the next thing that happens is that He's able to flow through your life. And it's His works in you that count. The things that we would do for the Lord with our own strength, our own ingenuity, our own wisdom and so forth, those are dead works. They don't mean anything. But the works that He would do through us is what counts. Those are the living works, and those are the things that's going to bring rewards. That's the thing that's going to bring fulfillment. And the last verse, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming into His kingdom. And that goes right on into the next chapter where it talks about the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appears on the mount with Jesus. Then they have a great reunion. You ever notice that there's no Peter, James, and John? This is Moses and Elijah. Moses, Elijah, this is Peter, James, and John. Somehow they just know. They just know. A whole new realm. There's no stopping place in God. How far do you want to go with the Lord? It begins with the revelation that He is the Lord. And once you get that revelation that He is the Lord, that He died for you, that you could become, and then there's the process of dying out self. You say, well, Christine, you asked, why don't it happen any faster? Why can't we grow quicker than what we are? Well, you have to take the steps. You have to learn how to deny self. Do you realize the majority of the Christian world, a person becomes a Christian, he's got his life all mapped out, and this is what I want to do with my life, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to be, this is my career, this is the thing that makes me happy, and I'm going to ask God to be with me in this and to bless me and so I can walk with Him. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. It only works when you're willing to lay down your life and say, Lord, I will not be the Lord over my life, but I will allow You to be the Lord over my life. See, people have many lords. Many Christians are involved in a lot of good works, a lot of good things that they do in order to try to earn favor with God. That's their Lord. Listen, you could be one that I'm going to be an avid studier of the Bible. I want to study the scriptures. I'm going to learn Hebrew and Greek. I'm going after this thing. And the next thing you know what happens? The danger of study becomes the Lord over you instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything wrong with studying? No, we need to study. But that's not to be the Lord. I believe in this work of the cross. I'm working with a particular brother now. He's just pig-headed. He's got his thing of what he has decided what the work of the cross is from him, and he's not moving from that. I said, listen, the work of the cross brings you to a door. And when you get there, you have to go through that door. And when you go through the door, what's the next thing to happen? To follow him. You deny self. Then there's the cross that you pick up, and then there's the following after him. So, you know, you're going to hang on to the cross forever. Mm-hmm. At some point, you have to start following after him. So, there's many good things you can do. I'm just going to pray all the time. I'm going to intercede, pray, and that becomes your Lord. We have to have the revelation of him. No good work, praying, studying, all these good things that you should do. I'm going to go out and witness. Wonderful, wonderful. But don't let that be the Lord over you. Jesus himself is to be the Lord. And so, you go through these steps of denying self, work of the cross, and following after him. And you learn to let him flow through you, and you begin to find benefits of him working through you, his works. Next thing you know, you reach into a realm where the cloud of witnesses, that you become aware of them. One of these days, Isaiah, you've been in Isaiah and you've studied it so much till you begin to know the man and begin to experience him. 2 Thessalonians, if you've been reading Trumpets, you have read many, many, many times, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Do we talk about that a lot?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. That's verse 10. Look back up to verse 7. 2 Thessalonians, first chapter, verse 10. That's that wonderful. We're trying to get people to understand that he has to be glorified in us. But verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Our Greek word there for angels is angelos. Angels, messengers. Messengers is more accurate than angels, really. That's not just heavenly angels, but also messengers like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, and all those other prophets. He is coming with them. As he comes forth within you and you learn to know him, you're going to also be learning to know Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah, because you're going to become aware of another world, the world of God. We got a long ways to go. It begins with the revelation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let's make sure we have a revelation. That's the first step, revelation. But I know he's the Lord. That's good that you know that. But make sure that it's a revelation to your heart and not just something you know because you read it or because you heard it preached from the pulpit. But it's a revelation to your heart.